So the one thing that I will say about being a Kings fan and the things that we experience, I'll take the Warriors or the Celtics or the Lakers and their championships. I'll take that anytime over what we've experienced. But what we as Kings fans experienced 2-3 years ago with the Beam Team, they don't experience that in Los Angeles.
No.
For that moment, right? Like, it was like, it wasn't even the pressure of winning a championship. It was like, bro, we're good. We're happy. It's lit. Like, that's unique. And I'm not here to say it's better or worse, but that's something that I actually take pride in, that, you know, we can be that excited and have that type of energy for something as simple as making the playoffs. That's all we did, was make the playoffs, lost in the first round, won a couple of games. I think you were around after game six. And Doko, it was obviously in Chase Center, but Doko was popping. Like, there was people walking all down K Street, like, going crazy for this road game, because they just tied the series at 3-3. That's all that we did. And that level of excitement, we may never even feel that way again, because that there was so long in between playoff appearances. But that was pretty dope to experience, and I think it's unique.
Yeah, and it was a really special thing to experience it with not just you, but with Damian and, like, everybody else at 1320. You guys were just always around before, after the games. Like, you were just talking about it the other day. You were like, hey, you know, I know we got stuff to do, but can we just dip out real quick out front in the foyer and just, like, experience what it's like, because they're going to win this game. Games one and two, before and after the games, man, like, there will never be another thing in my life that I will experience like that ever again. And it's so hard. It really is. It's difficult for other fan bases to kind of know what that feels like, because they live in bigger markets, or they root for these teams with such, like, you know, Steph Curry's a legendary figure. You can't get within, like, 50 feet of the guy, right, you know, without security tackling you, right? Like, it's a different thing around here, where the players are so accessible. People in and around the organization are very well aware of that. And so they kind of, you know, maybe let it live and let it slide a little bit more than maybe they should. But the players have always been very amenable to, like, fan interactions. And that's kind of the special thing. Like, I was talking to a Warriors fan friend of mine on one of his streams one time. And I was telling him, oh, yeah, I was talking to one of the players about, you know, he had to guard Kuminga during the preseason a couple seasons ago. And he was talking about how, like, oh, yeah, like, he's due for a breakout year. And my buddy was like, how did you talk to a player about that? Like, how do you even like, have that kind of access? And that was one of those moments where it kind of dawned on me where other fan bases do not have the unique experience like us Kings fans do here. Like, you can just walk around town, go to, like, Whole Foods or something like that. You might run into a player, right? Yeah. And they'll be cool talking with you, but that might not happen in other cities, like bigger cities.
You see them all the time. People are always taking pictures with whoever, a player or a coach down in Doko. Like, oh, I was at Jamba Juice and Del Christie came in and he let me take a pic. Like, that happens all the time out here. And that, once again, like you said, that's unique as well to the experience. We got our guy, the mayor of King's Twitter, Drew, the local guy. That's my guy. He's tapped in with D'Lo and Casey here today. Curious, how did the relationship with you and Keon happen?
Oh, my goodness.
Because that's your boy.
That's my guy, man. And maybe we'll talk about him and his whole situation, you know, here on the show too. But there was this trend a long time ago where people were making mixtapes of basketball players with songs that don't fit. So that summer that he was playing Summer League after he was signed as an undrafted free agent, so when him and Keegan were doing Summer League, I was making these ridiculous mixtapes. They would be some of the most simplest plays. It could be him making, like, a chest pass, and I would put, like, an R&B song over the mixtape. And I don't know how he was seeing them, because I wasn't tagging him in them. Like, I think maybe his family members were just seeing them, and they were, like, retweeting them, and it was popping up on the feed or whatever. And he was, like, liking the tweets, but I was just like, all right, you know, he sees them. That's cool. Like, I find that funny, but I didn't think anything of it.
Right.
And then towards the end of that summer going into the season, he followed me back on Twitter. And I was just like, okay, well, now, like, I got to be careful. Like, I don't want to do anything weird this guy out. And throughout that whole entire Beam Team season, you know, he was mostly in Stockton that year because he was on the two-way. And really all it was that year was I would just reach out to him, like, every now and then when, you know, he had a big performance, or, you know, I think he got his first bucket in Houston when the Kings went down to Houston and, you know, it was a blowout. So he got in there and he got his first NBA bucket. Like, I would message him about things like that.
Yeah.
I didn't think anything of it, though. I was just like, it's just Twitter. It's just online.
Right.
Eventually, though, I met him at the California Classic summer 2023. And it became pretty apparent, like, oh, no, like, he's a cool guy. And yeah. we get along. And yeah. and he is, like, at every turn has reminded me, like, I can't always interact with it. I'm not comfortable liking some of the stuff that like you post, but I'm aware of it. And he just thought that it was funny. And it's been kind of surreal. You know, he was just an undrafted free agent that I was very high on, like, you know, me and my guy, King's Film Room, KFR, mm-hmm. You know, we were watching tape. Yeah. What was that?
I said, my guy.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Yep. Our guy. Yeah. We were watching tape on him, like, you know, December, January. I mean, the Kings weren't playing for nothing at that point. So we were just watching college hoops, getting ready for the draft. Mm. And something about him was just like, no, like, he's an NBA player. It's kind of wild that he's, at first he was slated as a second rounder. Eventually he became a UDFA. And the fact that the Kings were able to get him was crazy. And then obviously, you know, two seasons ago, that was when he kind of announced himself to the league as like, no, like, he's an NBA player and he's going to stick around. And so that season was pretty surreal because I don't know if, as high as I was on him as a player, I'm not quite sure I could have predicted that season going the way that it did for him. And, you know, obviously he's proven himself to be a key piece of this organization now and hopefully moving forward.
Yeah. And you talked about how, like, you guys, you know, have a relationship, have interaction, but then, you know, you get the business of basketball and, you know, you get your fandom and they kind of cross paths a little bit. So, like, how was this past summer for you specifically, knowing that you know Keon as, you know, as a guy, as a person, and, like, you know, still being Drew and talking about the organization and should he sign and all this other stuff, did it ever get murky during that time, or was it all still cool?
I mean, if anything, my frustration lied with the organization, which I have Absolutely. No ties to or anything, right? So it was fine. I mean, the thing with him was, like, I think before this summer, the only time we ever talked about a contract or anything or anything money related or anything, because that's just something that I do not want to talk about when it comes to these guys and their financial situations, was when he got his standard contract, was when he got elevated from a two-way to a standard. I was like, hey, man, congrats. I also asked him if I could have $20. He's not. Giving me a straight answer on that still, so we'll see. But now this summer, it was kind of like, you know, I was hanging out with him about a month or so ago, and it was just kind of the elephant in the room. So it came up and we talked about it, and I do get the sense that, you know, he probably does feel a way about how things went down, because I think, you know, not just him but his camp, they're acutely aware of the fact that if he was on the open market this summer as an unrestricted free agent, mm-hmm. he would be in line for a fairly big pay raise, right? Yeah. Like, players like him have value around the league. There's a reason why every time somebody brings up a Keon Ellis hypothetical trade, Kings fans are like, you know, they're throwing rocks at these people that are even like throwing out those trades, because they're like, no, he's too valuable.
Right.
And other people around the league, you know, other fans of teams, like, there's a reason why they want the guy, because he's very, very valuable. So between me and him, I mean, it's fine. Like, I think there's an understanding between both of us as friends, like, yeah, man, it's the business. Like, at any second you could leave Sacramento. Like, that's just how the business is. That's the game. Will that ever change? Like, how I, you know, like, me and him being buddies and stuff like that? Absolutely not. And if anything, I was, even if he didn't stay here in Sacramento, had the option been declined and he became a restricted free agent and somebody came in with an offer sheet and he went somewhere else, I wouldn't, like, hold that against him or anything like that. Right. You know, like, that's just the business. I would be happy that he got paid and paid his worth.
Right.
And I think that was kind of the biggest thing for me that really made me frustrated, was like, all right, like, regardless of whether or not he stayed here, it would have been nice for him to get the pay raise that he definitely deserved.
Absolutely, man. And Keon, you talk about when his name gets put up in trade scenarios and stuff like that. And he's a guy that fits Sacramento, blue collar, mm-hmm. hard worker, got it out the mud. And, you know, he's worked his way up to this position. And that's why people love him. That's why people mm-hmm. love him here. And like you said, he stays true to himself. Seems like a great guy. You know, he's been nothing but respectful and pleasant to everybody he crosses paths with since he's been out here in Sacramento. So, and you say anything about Keon Ellis leaving, we definitely gonna have a problem with it out here. We definitely gonna have a problem. And I know, like, in my scenario, like, I'm a broadcast journalist, And I deal with this, like, I don't know the guy, but I deal with this with Malik Monk. Like, I love Malik Monk's game. You know what I mean? But I also love the Kings. So I got to have a conversation about what that looks like if he leaves. Like, what would you, you know, ask for in a trade? Or, man, like you said, we're hearing things. I don't know what the market's looking like. I know we love him. I love Malik, but it doesn't seem like a lot of people are, like, chomping at the bit to get him right now. And people take that as, you know, you don't like him no more. Or you got it. I'm just doing my job. I'm just providing information. And that's all it is. Even with Keon, if he's in a trade conversation, I don't want Keon to go anywhere. I want these guys that are here to figure it out and be a good team. But I also understand that that may not be the case. And I know there was hypotheticals last week about the Warriors asking for Keon in a Kuminga trade or whatever. I'm like, I don't want to give up Keon, but that you got to think about it. And that's just the nature of this job. Like, you got to have those conversations. Or hell, Scott Perry and those guys, they may love Keon too, but man, I got a job to get this team better. And unfortunately, sometimes you got to move on from people that you really like to take a step forward. That's Mike Bibby and Jason Williams. We love Jason Williams, but they had to do that at the time. So, you know, it's just it's the weird dynamic of, you know, getting a little closer to these players and knowing them as people, but also still being a fan of the team and the city and all that other stuff.
Yeah, that's something that I, like, if you told me like 3 years ago, 3-4 years ago, hey, this is going to happen and you're maybe going to fly a little bit too close to the sun with some of these players, I'd be like, no, come on. But now, you know, I'm actually experiencing it, and it's kind of wild. You know, like last season it was like, man, he got the standard contract, he might be here for a while, they might take care of him next summer. And then obviously circumstances change, you know, other players move on, you bring other players in, the cap sheet starts looking different, and then now you can't. And really my hope is for him is, you know, personally, hopefully his feelings personally towards the organization, towards the front office, remain fine. It's solid. You know, hopefully he's not too hurt about the situation. And then whenever it is that they can slide him an extension, whether that's whenever he's eligible now, apparently he can be extended at any time. Yeah. And if that's not true, then, you know, if he gets something slid to him in February, maybe he'll say, okay, like, that sounds good to me. But him being able to test unrestricted free agency next summer is a little worrisome, because you did have the leverage to kind of keep him, and then you willingly gave that up. That's kind of where I got a little confused with that decision.
My dog Drew, the local guy here on D-Lo and KC, the mayor of Kings Twitter. What's been your? Let's stay there with real quick with Kings Twitter real quick. What's been your most memorable Twitter moment outside of Keon, like meeting him and stuff like that? Like, was there a tweet that went crazy? Was there like a moment, like what do you have a favorite moment from being a part of Kings Twitter?
Man, there are a lot, because a lot of the moments have led to me meeting people like you and like Damian, Jesse, people in the chatty house. Like, so many of us have become friends because of all the stupid stuff that I've done on Twitter. I'm trying to think. There was one where, and it's funny because Keon told me that he saw this when he probably should have been getting ready for a game. But one time I tweeted out that I was doing a meet and greet, and then I canceled it. And then
you did that recent. Where were we at?
Oh, it was the Giants game at Sutter Health.
I
gave my tickets, and I know he's listening right now. My guy Jay, I gave my tickets to my buddy Jay because he wanted a night out with his wife. I was like, go ahead. I was supposed to be there though, and I was gonna see if I could sneak down and sit where
Boo
you were.
This
I
know man. You were. What you talking about, man? I'm out there with the people, man. I'm with the people.
I think it happened fairly recently. It's when the No Kings protest was happening.
Come on.
And then I quoted my buddy's tweet, because my buddy was actually out there working like for the State Hornet, like covering the No Kings protest. And I quoted him, and I was just like, that's right, the people have had enough, man. Get this horrible basketball organization out of our city. And it went crazy. And my friend like hits me up and he's like, dude, seriously, like I was trying to do some serious journalism and you just like ratioed the hell out of me. And I didn't think it was going to, you know, that's usually how it works is you don't think those tweets are going to, you know, blow up or take off or whatever. But I was like, oh, wow. And then I felt a little bad. And he was like, do you feel bad enough to delete it? And I was just like, no.
So, yeah, no.
Yeah, sorry. I would say that's probably right been now. The funniest.
Yeah, it's tweet. Cooking right now. I'm sorry, buddy. It's got to stay up.
Exactly.
Stay up there four digits here on the likes, man. It's got to stay up there, man.
Yeah, it's not going anywhere. Sorry,
Drew, man. This is the first time. It will not be the last time, man. You got to pull up on me again, man. Hopefully get you in studio next time, because that'll be dope too, man. But I appreciate you taking the time and rapping with me a little bit, man.
Appreciate you having me on, man. Hey, if Deuce is really in the studio next month, I'm there, and we got some things to hash out live on air.
So. That sounds like a ratings bonanza. Let's do it. Let's figure it out. No doubt. Drew the Local Guy, man. When I come back, I got another local legend, my guy, Lim Adams of Game Fit of Sac State, man. He's going to pull up on me, man. We're going to talk a little football and a little life, man. It's D-Lo and KC, ESPN 1320, Sacramento's number one sports station. Yes, sir, D-Lo and KC, ESPN 1320, KC and Friends today continues. And I got my guy, man, one of the legends in this city, the owner of Game Fit, and now college football coach, offensive control coach, wide receiver coach, my main man, Lim Adams, in the building. Lim, what's up, baby?
Man, what's up, man? Thank you for having me on, man. I'm going to get the studio next time, though.
Hey, we got to have you in studio, man. Like I said, I told you I got to get the Game Fit, man.
Man, you got to.
I'm cool, right? Like, I just turned 42 the other day.
Yeah,
I'm cool. Yeah. Like I can play.
You looking good for 42, man.
I that's what I'm saying. I'm cool, but I am a little. I'm getting a little soft, right? I'm getting a little soft, so I need to get in the gym, bro. I gotta get in the gym.
Hey, you know, you welcome anytime to the Fit. It's good.
Yes, indeed, man. Yes, indeed, no doubt. So we were talking off air, and I was like, he was like, yeah, man. You know, I'm ripping, running around. Let him tell me that, and I'm like, yeah, what's you probably been up for a while, probably since about 4 or 5, right? And Lim said, what time did you wake up, Lim?
At 2:15 every morning, man.
Come on, man. 2:15.
2:15, man. No, it's been a routine since I started the company, 2012, to be honest with you.
What time you go to bed?
On average, like 9, 10 o'clock. I don't sleep too much, man. I take naps.
I feel you.
It's just been like that, man. It's been like that. So I really don't. You know, it's kind of like, you know what you signed up for type thing.
Right, right.
You got to do what you got to do. So it's been like that for a while now.
I hear you. So I've watched both of the episodes of Go-Go Football on YouTube, man. And it tripped me out at first because, you know, they got the guys, they walking into the facility, they working out, you out there with the guys, they stretching, all this other stuff. And I was just watching that and just observing that and appreciating that. And everybody is just up, right? Like, everybody's up, energy's up, all this other stuff. And halfway through the first episode, it hit me. I was like, bro, it's like 5:15 in the morning. Like, what time did these guys get up to be at this point of their day? Like, nobody's groggy. Like, it's the middle of the day and they feeling good. It's like 5:15. I'm like, man, these dudes is getting after it.
No, man, it's really just the expectations that Coach Marion set for the squad. You know what I mean? You know, when you working for a guy like that that's kind of been through, you know, all the ups, all the downs, the bumps, the bruises, has moved up the chart, so to speak, very fast.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't – you just want to know, man, what have you done to be so successful? So once he tells you what he's done to be successful, it's just kind of one of those things you really don't question it. You just agree with it. You know it works. And he's just created that not only with the team but also with the coaching staff. So, man, it's been an honor to even this shorter time to kind of, you know, be working with him and been selected to be part of his staff, man. So I just feel, you know, blessed and privileged, especially in a city that's been so good to us. You know what I mean? Me and my family and my business.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't help but just say, hey, we got to go all in, all cards on deck, so to speak.
Right up. Let's backtrack a little bit because I want to talk about Lim at Sac State and with Coach Marion and how that came about.
Yeah.
Let's backtrack a little bit, man. You as an athlete and how Game Fit, like before I even got into all this, everybody was like, "Yo, Game Fit is the spot." This was, you know, 5, 6 years ago, and it was already established. How did that journey go? How did you?
You know, it's very interesting. So my last year playing arena football, I played. Shoot, when Stockton had an arena team, that was my last year playing. So 2011 was my last year playing. And in between that, I was working in the education field. So I always, you know, worked another job playing arena football. Mm-hmm. So I kind of played arena football off and on from 2001, shoot, to 2011 pretty much. Mm-hmm. So I've been doing that, but I knew right when I was working in education, I knew it was something that, you know, I didn't feel like I wanted to do forever. Mm-hmm. I knew football wasn't something I could play forever, right? But I always knew I wanted to start up some type of athletic training facility where I can work with athletes and develop athletes and, you know, not just work with football athletes, but work in speed and agility. So I said, hey, you know what? I started in my garage. I said, started training a few athletes. And next thing you know, man, it was pretty one of those things where it's kind of like you tell yourself, you speak it into existence. You say, hey, man, one day I'm going to have a facility. I'm going to be training all these athletes.
Yeah.
I was telling kids that, and it kind of just happened, man. I was working in the education field one day. I was talking to my boss, and I said, hey, I think I'm going to put my notice in. Mm. She said, if anybody could put your notice in and start a successful company, I think it'd be you. And that just kind of – that confidence that she had put in me kind of initially was like one of those things where it was kind of like, you know what, I got to do this.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, when I first started with a lot of struggles, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Well, I started off Del Paso Boulevard in Colfax, mm-hmm. which was an area where I think that it just kind of thrived. We started training a lot of youth kids and athletes. Then Terrence Mitchell and James Sample came through the door mm-hmm. when they were still kind of in college
and
trusted in me to develop them. And, you know, and then, you know, they kind of made it to the league. And then after that, it was just kind of Shaq Thompson and Saquon Thompson, all those guys started kind of coming in and working with me. And then we just started developing young athletes and, you know, high school athletes and college athletes and pro athletes. And it just kept grinding, man. You know, it was one of those things just, you know, no different than anybody that's trying to really be the best in what they're trying to do. Mm-hmm. They just got to, you know, just kind of work at it. And it was just great. The community supported it.
Yeah.
And, you know, then it kind of grew to, you know, to what it is today, so to speak. And That's kind of how Game Fit kind of really rocked. It was the city, man. It was the city and the people in the city and the families in the city that trusted, you know, me to and my trainers to kind of work with their athletes. That was really what built it, man.
Right, right. So was T. Mitch like the first guy that kind of like was on a big time level as a college player, then got to the NFL and kind of stamped like Lim Adams Game Fit is like, this is where I'm at and kind of
take off. He was, cause he was at University of Oregon when I met him, when his dad introduced me to him and people was, so, you know, he was like, man, you got to get with this kid from Burbank. And, you know, I was like, absolutely. And we just kind of hit it off, you know, just as people and just kind of, you know, I know he was trying to accomplish some things in his career and still, you know, had a chip on his shoulder, so to speak. And, you know, I was trying to really do stuff in my career and that was, it was great for him. He trusted in that. And then after that, you know, James Sample was back, you know, from University of Washington, that situation didn't work out for him. And, you know, his brother introduced me to him, said, hey man, I got, my brother's trying to still want to play ball. He wants to play, but he's not sure how all this is going to pan out, man. We just started working and I said, man, we'll start reaching out to schools. And, you know, fortunately, you know, University of Louisville came and was like, hey man, we like this kid. And a whole bunch of different schools just reaching out. I was like, man, I told you, man, you still got what it takes. And just recording videos, man, you know, workouts. And and they just loved it. Obviously, he had a successful high school career, was a U.S. Army All-American and did some good things at the high school level. And, you know, his potential was up. You know, he said, hey, Lim, I want you to train me. So and it just kept building, man. It just kept building. People just kept trusting in what we were doing and the direction we were trying to do it in. And, you know, a lot of hard work, you know, a lot of blood, sweat and tears and, you know, just grinding.
Yeah.
So then it just took off from there, man, to be honest with you, with the different athletes, you know, mm-hmm. you know, the soccer athletes, the hoop athletes, the baseball athletes. And it just built into something special. And then obviously, you know, the youth and the parents have supported us with the youth development has been huge from the younger levels. Now we've been, you know, been fortunate enough to, man, have a lot of successful athletes of all guys, girls, all different sports. So it's been great for us.
No doubt, man. My man Lim Adams, founder, owner, Game Fit, and now assistant coach at Sac State for the football program. And you talk about the journey and everything. And I'm just I know how you are and hearing your story and just the way you go about it as an athlete and as a coach and a businessman. And I teach this to all the kids that I work with, and especially my son. No matter what it is you want to do in life, to be successful, there is no shortcut. There is no skirting the work. You know, you're going to have to, when I got this job, before I got into radio, I had a podcast that I would put out every Friday, and it would go up on SoundCloud. And it was one of those things where if I got, you know, they show you your stats. If I got 25 plays, I'd be like, oh, I was cooking this week. 25 people per play on this thing. I was cooking. But I was working a state job. And on Thursday nights, it would always be I'm up till about 3-4 in the morning.
Yep.
Go to sleep real quick. And I had to be at the state job and I had to be out of the house by 7. And I did that
building that brand
for years, right? But it was something I wanted to do, and I understood like it's gonna be hard work. And to your story and what you talk about and the way you work with these kids and these young athletes, I know you preach to them. There ain't no getting around the hard work. If you want to do it, this is how you got to do. You got to sacrifice sleep. You got to sacrifice hanging out. You got to sacrifice even sometimes with your family to achieve your goal, man. And I know that's just what you've built your company on, and now working with these kids as well.
Absolutely. No, it's been exactly what you said. There's definitely no shortcuts. There's no shortcuts. And always, I knew what I signed up for, so I ain't going backwards. So I'm not going backwards. That just can't happen. I know what it felt like, you know, going backwards. You just figure out a way. You say, nah, I'm not going to do that no more. So Coach Marin always talks about going right or going left. He says, hey, you go left, but, you know, stay on that right trail. So now I use that. I'm like, man, I'm staying on that right trail. We're not going left.
Yeah.
So it's and you just keep that. You just instill that in the people around you. And it's all about leadership and people surrounding yourself with people that's on the same page. You know, there might be some disagreements and things like that, but at the end of the day, they want to be successful too. So I know that's what Coach Marion has going right now. And I'm just kind of, you know, he always talks about using your gifts, you know, using your gifts and what you're good at and using your gifts. And, you know, now I'm just using the gifts that I've had to help be successful for him. You know, I want him to be very successful. So, so I'm going to do what I need to do my part to make sure that, you know, at least I do what I need to do to give him the best opportunity for him to continue to grow. And then, you know, fortunately, hopefully, you know, God willing, I just continue to grow in this field as well.
Yes, indeed. Let's go there, man. You and Coach Brendan Marion have a pretty close relationship. And what are the origins of that relationship? How did you guys meet? And then how did it was like, hey, I'm at Sac State, man. I need you to rock with me. How'd that go?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I met Coach Marion back in 2017, 18, when he was at the University of Pittsburgh, and he was recruiting some of my athletes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this one, my job was full training, full, you know, recruiter, you know, trying to get my guys noticed. So I was always working with my athletes and letting them know what they need to do to reach out to college coaches and things like that. And, you know, obviously Coach Marion was one of the top recruiters, not only wide receiver coaches in the game at the time. So I said, man, let me reach out to him. So I started reaching out to him in regards to some of our top athletes, guys that could play at that level. Cause you know, University of Pittsburgh, that's big time college football. And he hit me back on Twitter. I still got the tweets back in the day.
Yeah.
And I was just talking about a few of our athletes. He was like, man, I want all three of them offered. And I was like, man, that's crazy. So and then we just built relationships. I just maintained relationships. Then he went to University of Texas. And obviously I was, you know, still he was, hey, recruiting some more of my athletes at the University of Texas and just making sure. That's why I tell relationships are very important, and just making sure you maintain those relationships. So we just continue to build relationships. And then when I was training, I'd always reach out to him. Like, man, one day I want to coach. You know what I mean? But I'm still building my businesses. And at this time, you know, different coaches was giving me different opportunities, but I wasn't ready to, you know, really branch off. Cause at the time I only had Game Fit Sacramento. I hadn't even opened up Reading yet, you know? So then I opened up Reading, and then, you know, then I opened up Dixon, you know? So I really wasn't at the point where I was like, hey man, God just kept giving me opportunities to expand that arena. But then I was like, man, at some point I can't train forever. You know, I can't train forever. I can still have the company, but I knew it was going to be a big thing. I was going to have to not be able to train high school athletes. So it had to be the right situation for me. Right? I wasn't willing to do that. So I would always go in the offseason and shadow coaches. You know, I would go out there and shadow Marcus Freeman, but I was always following Coach Marion.
Yeah.
And Coach Marion and staff always, him and Coach Merchant, who's now the quarterback coach, offensive coordinator with Coach Marion at Sac State, said, hey, man, you come shout on me. So UNLV, I would go out there, and people was laughing at me. Why are you going out there, man? I don't know if they're going to have nothing. I would just shadow Coach Marion and just see how he worked.
Yeah.
He would open his doors to me, man. I'd wake up in the morning. I'd be the first person in the office, right when he was there, because he'd get there early. Coach Merchant got there early at the office. And just open their arms, man. And I told Coach Marion at UNLV, I was like, man. He was like, man, you know I got a job for you, but I don't know if it's going to be what you want to do. Because you know I was in the recruiting department because they didn't have any on-field positions available. And he was like, man, but I recommend, you know, you just keep chugging at what you're doing, man, because you're gonna make it in this field. So, man, I get back home one day. You know, he was selling UNLV. Months go by. I hit him up on the phone. I'm like, hey, man, because he had just got married. And I said, hey, me and the wife want to know your address. You know what I mean? Want to know your address, man. I want to send you a gift.
Yeah.
And he was like, it's all good. You know, I'll get with you. So, like, 3 weeks go by. And then I get a call. And he like, man, I'm coming to SAC. He said, man, I want you to rock with me. I said, for sure. He said, now, you know, you can't wait working with no high school athletes. I said, man, you one of the cats that, you know, told me if you got a position, a head coaching position, you was going to hire me. So you honored your word. I'm going to honor my word, man. It's good. I'll work all that other stuff out. I got good people, good trainers, good people around me. You know, that's a no-brainer for me. You know, so I'm locked in with you, whatever I need to do. And that's kind of how it happened, man.
Yeah.
That's kind of how it happened.
That's fine, you know, man.
He wanted me to rock with him. I wanted to rock with him, so it was good.
Man, it feels like you guys, just the way that you guys approach work. You know what I mean? That's like going to be a key word for this conversation. The way that you guys approach work and getting better is like a match made in heaven. And one of the things that I've learned about you, because I just knew you as Lim from Game Fit and the trainer and all this other stuff, reading articles about you. And then I saw it wasn't the Sac State one, but it was the one that Bunchy did himself. And he did the video on coming to Sac. And when he came and he saw you, like, it was like so much love. Like, you talk about building relationships. That's why, and I know you're a football coach as well, but that's why you're one of the top recruiters in the game right now, because you value the relationships that you build with these young men. And you tell them, and I'm sure this is the same thing that you have with Bunchy, who was committed, and now he's with Fresno State. It's like, man, you can go play on the moon. When you see me, it's going to be love. Yeah. You know what I mean?
For sure. People always love.
People appreciate that, and they respect that all the time. And that's the thing that just jumps off the screen when I hear you communicate with some of these players that are with Sac State or not with Sac State right now.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, man, this football thing, you know, we talk about relationships. This game is going to allow you to meet a lot of people, right? But more importantly, it's going to allow you to touch a lot of lives, right? It's going to allow you to travel different places that you never thought you would travel because of what you do. Mm-hmm. But more importantly, you impact people. You know, they know that. They know that. So I want to be looked at as a person, you know, regardless if it worked out or didn't work out. You know, at the end of the day, man, I try to put you in the best situation to be successful. But, you know, every situation might be right for you. It might not be right for me. And then we just got to be able to accept that and be open to that.
Yeah.
And then as long as people do it the right way, you know what I mean? And they communicate. I mean, things cross different people's mind every day. And, you know, you're going to stick to situations that you believe in, but then there might be some shifts. So who am I to question that? I'm a person that cares about people and shows mad love, regardless if you rocking with me or not. Because I think that's how you become blessed. I think that's how situations, you know, put in your plate that work out for you more than not.
Yeah, for sure, man. We talking with my guy, Lim Adams, assistant coach at Sac State, wide receivers coach at Sac State, also founder, owner of Game Fit. And how many Game Fits you got now? I knew you had
three.
One other one. Yeah, I didn't know you. I didn't know about the Dixon one. So
yeah, so it's actually a great partnership. So so that one is dope. That's a great situation, man. That's right there in between, you know, right there off Dixon, right off of 8 Mile Road. Was it 8 Mile Road? Pittsburgh School Road. Mm-hmm. Nice location, man. They did a real good job with that facility. Basically, what we did, we're building within a building. So it's a big Christmas tree farm.
Okay.
So They, you know, and then we have built a great relationship out there with them. And they have been trying to get me out there for a while. And I was like, you know, let's do it. I got great staff out there.
Yeah.
Brent, who owns the company, who owns the tree farm, and he has batting cages and everything out there. He's just, you know, he opened his arms. It was a great fit. It was a great fit. So that was our third location. So we're kind of a brand within a brand at that location. But it's great for that community. So it's been good. It's been good.
That's dope, man. That's dope. You've been familiar with the area for X amount of years, man, for a long time. Yep. You've seen everything that's going on.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen or felt the energy around the city that you feel right now? I know you guys feel right now for Sac State football. This is special right now, what you guys are creating and the buzz that you guys are creating right now. Do you guys feel it within the walls of the football program, or do you kind of isolate yourself from that?
Nah, we feel it. I mean, we feel it because it's what excites us, man. You know, you talked about us getting up there in the office at 5 o'clock, 4:30 in the morning, or whatever it takes. Nah, it's the energy is crazy. It's just one of those things where it's like, and I love, you know, I love energy. Mm-hmm. So anytime there's a place where there's going to be some energy at, you're probably going to find me up in there just being a part of it. Yeah. But Coach Marion, man, I can't, he's just done an amazing job. He's created a culture of excitement. And he has a way of doing it where you just sit back and you're like, dang, man, this cat is cold at this. Yeah. And it's his presence, you know what I mean? And he's instilled into every single player. And if you're not energized or energetic, he's going to call you out. Mm. I mean, he's going to call you out because he's about people. He's about community. And he always says, man, if we got to give this community and these people because, you know, Dr. Wood is giving him, you know, full run with this thing. Mm-hmm. So when someone gives you full run with it, yeah, you take it. You take it, the support is there. Yeah. So when the support is there, the energy is going to be there.
Yeah.
And he's just really instilled that in all of us. You know, but we love it, man. I'm telling you right now, we can't wait to strap it up. I mean, we're excited about fall camp. We've been excited from day one.
Yeah.
But, you know, now we're going to be in our office game planning and preparing for another opponent and, you know, all the X's and O's. But at the end of the day, you know, it's about playing fast, playing aggressive, playing with energy. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that's one of those things you can just turn on and turn off. So if you don't have energy going into this thing, I mean, you know, Friday, Saturday, whatever day we play on, you know, you're not going to be able to have that energy when it's time to put them pads on. So it's just a culture. We're just trying to have it in us now, you know, so we don't have to just turn the switch on. It just stays on. And that's what we're doing.
And one of the things I love about the culture that you talk about and being around, I'm not around there a lot, but I've been around, you know, the team and Coach Marion and yourself and some of the other players is you guys aren't afraid to have high expectations. I told somebody the other day, yo, they trying to win a chip. They trying to win a national championship, bro. 1,000%. And they're not afraid to say like, that's our goal. Like, absolutely. That should be everybody's goal. And you guys are committed to doing that. I love that.
Yeah. I mean, we're not doing this for no other reason, man.
Right.
We're not doing this for no other reason. And we got a lot of confidence with that. And we just because our preparation, it has nothing to do with. I mean, we didn't prepare the way you hear as probably quiet as can be.
Right.
But we know the preparation. We know what we have in the locker room, you know, but we at the end of the day, we also understand that we got to strap it up. And we got to play.
That's right.
So but we're not scared of. We got goals, man. We got individual goals as individual coaches. Mm-hmm. Coach Mary has individual goals, and then we have our team goals, and we talk about that. So, no, we not shy. We not shy away from that at all. We're very confident that we're gonna win. We're gonna win a lot, and but we know we got to play, and we got to do what we need to do, and that just comes from our preparation.
Hey, I'll say this though, Lem, when it's your day to have the Maybach, you got to come swoop me, big dog. You
know what I'm saying?
You got to have the Maybach. You got to come swoop me, man. I just want to get something for the gram.
I got you. Coach Marion talks about, that's what we all working for. So all one day we all can have those nice things. And then, you know, it's just about giving back and stuff like that. But, I'm locked in with that. That's easy. We're gonna grab something to eat or something.
That's it. That's all. I just want a bite to eat.
I don't know. I think you might got the Maybach before me.
Stop. What's this guy talking about, man?
Whatever. If I get it first, I'm picking you up. If you get it first, you're picking me up.
Deal. We got that, man. Hey, man, thank you for taking the time and rapping with me. I'm so excited about what you guys are doing over there at Sac State. You guys will get tired of seeing my face over there because I'm going to be over there at them games. I'm going to be on the sidelines. I'm going to be, hey, man, I'm locked in with Sac State football.
You know, Coach Merritt wants people like you on there, so it's good.
I'm locked
in. He all about swagger and energy. He want all that.
I'm locked in with y'all, man, and I can't wait. We get started in about 4 or 5 weeks or so.
Man, we start in 4 or 5. We start camp. Oh, let that everybody know we open public. Our practice will start on August 1st.
Okay.
Open to the public. Coach Merritt wants everybody there.
So I didn't know that. Real quick, I want to make sure we had it because I didn't know that. So is there times when you guys are going
to practice? You know what I'm going to do is I'll get the times for you because they're still putting together the practice schedule.
Okay.
But we start August 1st. It's going to be open to all youth. I mean, everybody. It's open to the public.
All right, you know I'm pulling up. You know that.
Yeah,
you
got to pull up.
Yes, indeed, man.
Yes, sir.
Lim Adams, man.
I appreciate you having me.
Nah, man, it's all love, man. Lim Adams, Game Fit, Sac State, and just all around Sacramento legend, man. We appreciate you pulling up on us, dog.
Thank you, sir.
All right, man. No doubt, man. Man, great conversation. Stinger's up. D-Lo and KC is going to return. ESPN 1320, Sacramento's number one sports station.
Kenny's chewing on something.
I thought the guy might be...
No, that was one of the ones where he just says it from the beginning.
Not bad. We're back here on D-Lo and KC. Jesse, tell the people what you just drank real quick.
Yeah, hold on. Kenny's got to drink his drink. I'm pretty pissed off because all we got is root beer in the fridge at work. There's no water. It's kind of tough times here at D-Lo and KC Enterprises.
That reminds me. You know, shout out to the Giants. You know, they got that win yesterday. That was great to see. You know, they got a win. And then, you know, the minor league team, the Triple A team, you know, Bryce Eldridge, that dude's a beast. He got one on a walk-off yesterday. I wish I'd be able to see Bryce Eldridge, man. That dude, he seemed like the truth. Oh.
You know, we're doing a joke right now, but I'm really kind of like really breathing tough right now because it's like, who do you think was at that game that actually knows what was going on?
Look.
I even guessed, I was like, oh, I wonder if Bryce Eldridge is playing like a dummy on the radio. And he was. No, he had a walk-off.
And he had a walk-off. Like, this is great. Do you think Kelly?
No, knew? No chance.
Justine.
She was probably glad to hang out. Bryce Eldridge, who's that?
John came through with Dodger.
Yeah, John had Dodger gear. John is the Dodger guy here.
I agree with Kyle. Kyle said we just need to take our home field trip.
Yeah, he texted that yesterday. It's probably about that time.
Here's the other thing. This is what I found out. I don't want to say everybody, but a lot of people left before the walk-off.
Really?
Yeah.
Hold on.
Yeah.
So they took time away from work to go to this game. I didn't see nobody come back. You left early. I didn't see nobody come back.
The only person I saw come back was
Charlie. Did
Charlie? Charlie went to the game.
Charlie went to the game. Yeah, you know what?
I thought we were standing in solidarity.
Yeah, I thought D'Lo was going to go, but I guess not that Rivercats game. Wow. Maybe he took a stand as well. Took a stand. Our friend Charlie was there smiling. He's front and center in the picture.
All right, this is just.
Meanwhile, his two employees over here are just. Oh, yeah, would have loved to have been there.
Is this the Eagle? Is this station the Eagle or something like that? Because it would make sense for, you know, maybe if we worked at the Eagle not to go to the baseball game. Do we work for the Eagle?
We don't.
Oh, okay. Maybe Alt. That would make sense, too. You know, we work for Alt. We don't necessarily need to be representing at the baseball game. That's what we work for, Alt?
No, not them either.
Oh, let me see. Oh, I'm looking. We work for the sports station.
Yeah, the only one that's live right now, literally. You know, the River Kids play at night, too, sometimes.
No, I was about to say, I was going to ask the question, is this a situation like old Wrigley Field where they only play day games? And that's the only – that's why they picked that day?
They used to do that because they didn't have lights up?
No. They didn't get lights on Wrigley Field until 1990, I believe it was.
That's embarrassing.
Maybe 89, maybe that's... 80. No, it was 80. The Giants played in NLCS at night. So it might have been 88, 89. And the story was – the owner.
Hold on.
What?
Hold on.
What we got?
Wait. All right. Charlie was there as well. I see Joe Brazil. Come on, man. We need the ESPN outing. Joe. Come on. Joe was out there as well. Now he's trying to play both sides.
Come on, yo. You really find out that, hey, what did I miss? That's what it sounded like right now. What did I miss?
Joe's like, no, we can go next time, guys. Don't worry.
What did I miss? These people, they were standing to my right of me. You know, what did I miss? That's what's going on right now. Joe Brazil?
Yeah, say it ain't so. Joe was supposed to be one of the good ones.
Once again, man, you know, they were standing to the right of me. What did I miss? That's what's going on right now.
Joe Brazil, I wasn't supposed to be there. LMAO, yeah, well, you were there, Joe. Front and center in the picture as well.
Showing the picture like, hey, what's up, guys? Let's go. Odyssey Day at the park. Let's go.
All we did was Odyssey Day at work.
But, yeah, the Cubs owner, it might have been Wrigley. That might have been his name. I can't remember. But the Cubs owner, when the rest of Major League Baseball was getting lights, he said, over my dead body. Baseball is made to be played during the day, and we will never have lights here at Wrigley Field. Never. He passed away, and I think less than 6 months after he passed away, they put up the lights.
Oh, I would have put a light up the moment. It went beep. Like as soon as first light, boom, turn it on.
Yeah, I remember that. And that used to always be the thing, obviously out here in Sacramento, Chicago, obviously it's a way of life, but they would always be on TV, WGN, 1120, every home game.
Why was WGN on everyone's TV?
I don't know.
It was on like early 2000s and stuff. Like, oh, yeah. Like
WGN and TBS were based in – so TBS was based in Atlanta. It's Turner. It was based in Atlanta. WGN based in Chicago.
Yeah.
And if you got cable – you got those.
Oh, I was like, yeah, it's weirdly enough. Wait, I'm just going, why is there a Cubs game on right here in the middle of all these channels?
Cubs, Bulls, everything. That was also part of the reason why I like the Bulls, because the Bulls would play on WGN as well. I'd be able to watch all those Jordan games. The interesting thing is like TBS, Turner Network, and they showed the Braves games. They were in Atlanta, but.
Shout out Trevor Jones.
They would show like. Saved by the Bell. Like it was a lot of syndication national stuff, right? Excuse me. But WGN was like a news station, like a local Chicago news station. It would be like if CBS 13 was in Memphis.
Yeah, yeah.
Like why are we getting it? I would watch the news, the Chicago news on WGN. It was the weirdest thing. But yeah, every day they had a home game, 1120. On WGN, I was watching with my Uncle Mel during the summer.
Yeah, that's insane. Makes a little bit more sense why it took him so long to win a World Series. But I can make that joke because my team did it in less years than them.
What was it, 89 years? For
86, I believe, 86 for us. 100 and something for the Cubs.
How old were you when they won?
The Sox?
Yeah.
Like seven. Yeah, seven, about to be turning eight. It's the young kid, you know?
Come on, man.
It's hey, the young come kid. Come on. What? How old are you?
Come on, bro.
Were you in college at that time?
Yes, I was like 21, damn. 22.
Yeah, a little bit of a generational gap here. We're still millennials.
We're still millennials.
Still millennials.
Bro. Still good. Still good. Oh, that reminds me. This is what we could do right now, because I was about to think of some things we could do. So I'm going to play something, and this isn't shade whatsoever. This is just like sports. This is sports, and I love sports. I work for a radio company. I have a radio show. These things.
You're going to play something crazy right now, huh?
I don't think it's crazy. I don't. Like, I think this is fantastic. But the 49ers started training camp yesterday or 2 days ago. They ended up playing, you know, for the first time, had everybody out there. And my guy put this out here. This is why I feel okay doing this. And because it's love, man. It's all love. Hold on. Let me get where I can
oh, is it about what Juwan Jennings was catching?
No.
No?
That
you saw
was
that
funny.
One? Okay, yes. Yeah.
That was hilarious. That's not what this was.